There are three mountain peaks of prophecy, and let's run through them. We'll have time. The first mountain peak of prophecy is found in Genesis 3:15. This is the first prophecy in the Bible. The answer to all three of these mountain peaks of prophecy is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All of these is concerning the Son of God. In chapter 3:15, we'll read that. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This prophecy was fulfilled at the cross. When Jesus died, he bruised the serpent's head. He was the seed of the woman in more than one way. Mary was the woman. She was a descendant of David, of the tribe of Judah. Jesus, the seed of this woman on the cross, bruised the serpent's head. In the second chapter of Hebrews, I don't remember the verse, maybe we can find it real quick. We read that verse 14. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Notice what he did on the cross. He bruised the serpent's head. And we read that through death he destroyed him that had the power of death. He took his weapon away from him and slew him with his own weapon, just like David did Goliath. So he bruised his head. At the same time, his heel was bruised. Now the difference between this, the head being bruised and the heel being bruised, is one is permanent and the other is temporary. Nobody ever died with a bruised heel. So through Christ's death on the cross, that was only temporary. He rose from the grave. But Satan, the devil, never rose from the grave. Now, somebody might say, but he's awful powerful today. Well, this is a provisional truth. And we who believe, we who lay hold of the truth of the cross in our heart, he is a slain enemy. And we do not fear him. There's no fear of death. There's no fear of what he can do to us. Just like David said, I'll not fear what man can do to me. We don't fear what the devil can do to us either. Defeated. He was bruised. His head was bruised on the cross. Then the second mountain peak of prophecy is concerning the seed of Abraham. And this is found in the 12th chapter of Genesis. And we talked about him before, that the fact that he was brought out of Chaldea, and he simply believed God. Now that's all that we can say concerning the seed of Abraham. Was Abraham believed God? And read this in the 4th chapter of Romans. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted or reckoned over or laid upon him for righteousness. This was an imputed righteousness given to Abraham, not a deserved righteousness. And so, because he believed God, his seed become the seed of faith, didn't it? And so he simply believed God, and he came out from among them, separated himself, and over a little bit, God completely separated him. He took Lot away and left him all alone sitting in Hebron all by himself. But oh, such a place to sit in Hebron, the city of communion with God, alone with God. And this is the seed. Now, God had promised Abraham that his seed would be as the sands of the seas and as the stars of the heavens, so shall thy seed be called. We become seed of Abraham by faith. That's, again, in the 4th chapter of Romans, and also in the 3rd chapter, of the book of Galatians. Let's look at Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure unto all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all, including the Romans, including the Gentiles, doesn't it? And so even we are part of the household of Abraham. And then we find his condition in verses 17, 18, and 19. Let's drop down to verse 22 after reading what his faith was. But verse 22, it says, "And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness," or just laid upon him for righteousness. "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." We become seed of Abraham by resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's notice in the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians, and all of us know these scriptures. I'm just bringing them back to your remembrance. Third chapter, rather. I'm sorry. Verse 6. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Just simply by faith, the same faith God gave this man a promise. And so he simply believed God. My mind goes to the time when he took his only son up Mount Moriah, to offer him a sacrifice to God. Abraham believed God even unto the death of his son. And the faithfulness of God was looking to the cross where Jesus died. So the seed of Abraham, this wonderful promise to him, is unto all the seed. Because Jesus died and arose from the grave, we belong to a nation of promise. We are the stars of the heavens. We are a heavenly people, as we read in Ephesians 1:3. Our hope is heaven. Our purpose is in heaven. Our home is in heaven. And we have no rights here on this earth if we're claiming our place that God has given us. Don't feel bad if you lose earthly possessions. They're not yours anyway, to start with. So prophecy concerning the seed of Abraham is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of him, we come to the same promise and the same hope, same seed. Then the third mountain peak of prophecy is concerning the seed of David. And that's in 2 Samuel chapter 7. David wanted to build God a house. And God came right out and told him that he couldn't do it and that Solomon was going to build that house. But God gave David a wonderful promise here. Read from verse 12 is the promise. And this is also called a Davidic covenant. "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men." Now, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this Davidic covenant. Some people thought because Solomon built a house that Solomon was the fulfillment of that. But God cut off the lineage of Solomon just shortly before they went into the final siege of Babylon. In the first chapter of the book of Matthew, we have a genealogy. We're going to come back to the seventh chapter of 2 Samuel. The genealogy of Jesus Christ dating from David, verse 1, and I want to drop on down to verse 11, but this goes through verse 6. "And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah," or Bathsheba. So we have Solomon then begat Rehoboam and so forth. We have the genealogy down through here. Then in verse 11, we read that Josiah begat Jeconiah. Now, this is the same as we have for Coniah in the Bible. And this was the last king that God recognized on the throne of David. There was kings after this, but not in the will or the order of God. King of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, picked the next king. At the end, as we read down through here, Jesus, let's put it this way, Joseph would have been the king of Israel if they had not gone into Babylonish captivity. He would have been the king of Judah, I should say, rather, not Israel, been the king of Judah. But this lineage was cut off. Solomon, the whole line of Solomon was put to nothing. And we find Joseph, which should have been a king, a carpenter. Now, let's turn over to the book of Luke. And in the third chapter of Luke, we find another genealogy of the Lord Jesus. And I'm not going to go through all of this whole thing, but from verse 23, we have the genealogy of Jesus that is altogether different than we read in Matthew. And this shows forth him through Mary, the genealogy through Mary. Although it sounds like it's through Joseph, but she took upon herself the submissiveness to Joseph. He became the headship, the head of the household. So that's the reason that it reads this way. Notice on down in verse 31, which is the son of Melea, which was the son of Menan, which was the son of Mattathiah, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. So God used another son of David to bring forth Jesus, and that made him a double heir to the throne of the seed of David. Through Solomon, he would have been heir by natural. But God used another man altogether, a little man that was hardly even mentioned in the Old Testament, to bring forth the seed of David. So here we have Christ in death, we have Christ in resurrection, and we have Christ in reigning. And he shall reign. He shall be king. These are the mountain peaks of prophecy, those that are pertaining to him and him alone.